The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action, and you can hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Ross Briley in the studio. It's Ayr, Chepstow and Sedgefield on Tuesday afternoon. We also have Wolverhampton in the evening, so four meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by William Hill Radio's Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well, Mark. Delighted to be here.
Good. Pretty big weekend just gone by. John, what stood out to you this weekend?
It was a very big weekend, wasn't it? And, what stood out for me was the, great to say, the start of what I call proper jumping. It was really excellent, £50,000 race at Market Race and over the fences. It yet again showed that the gallant doctor, Dr. Richard Newland, is a power in the force, not just a hobby maker. And there was a horse who ran in that race who I'm convinced will win at Cheltenham in a very short time.
Okay. Looking at the Monday Jury, John, as we always do on this edition of the podcast, it's very much centering around the Arc, so we'll get straight down to business. And who wins the Arc?
Tegruda will win the Arc, hopefully, Mark. I'm convinced that she is a really top-grade filly, the equivalent of Trave last year. Unfortunately, Trave would appear not to be quite the same filly this time round. Tegruda, people will sort of say, well, got beat at York. Could it be that she's over the top? The King George, not a vintage King George renewal. I can't understand that. I mean, I thought Tegruda was an outstanding winner at Ascot, and the field in that King George was right up to scratch. So really good horses are back in the placings, and one or two who failed to make the first three. I don't think it was a substandard King George. All the vibes would suggest that Tegruda is back to Ascot form and that she was below her best at York. Now, she only just got beat at York, so if she was below her best, which I think she was, it wasn't necessarily a disgrace. And the vibes at Newmarket suggest she is back to her best. And Paul Hannigan is certainly riding with a great deal of confidence at the moment. So I'm very much a Tegruda supporter. Hope the filly will go extremely well and win.
OK, Tegruda to win the Arc. Then just spinning through the betting, Tegruda is 9-2 at the top of the market. Ectote is 6-1, 7-1 for Avenir Certain and Harpstar and Just Away. It's then 10-1 for Free Eagle, Gold Ship and Trave, and then 12-1 for Kingston Hill. 14s or bigger prices for the others. So you think Tegruda will win the Arc, John? Who do you think will follow her home?
I think the French will follow her home, and they are the really serious dangers. I've always think the Prix Niel is about the best possible trial for the Arc, and Ecto was an impressive winner there, also supported by Pricewise, of course, early on at a much bigger price. The thing which impressed me about Eto there was the speed with which he went past horses when asked to challenge. He quickened really well. Mm. Tired a bit, perhaps a bit in front, but still was an impressive winner. Should improve on that. Christophe Lemaire is very confident that he's going to get an extremely good ride and run from Avenue Safin, and that certainly comes into the picture. It's absolutely nothing wrong, and French horses in the Arc, in my view, should always be very seriously considered. If asked between the two, I'd go for Ecto to finish second.
Okay. Ecto to finish runner-up to Tegruda, then, is John's idea of things in the Arc. Moving on to the third question in this week's Monday Jury, and is there a horse you think should be running there who isn't or isn't certain?
Well, quite definitely. It's a very dull and obvious choice. Australia ought to be there, in my view, Mark, particularly after the disappointment last time out in Ireland. I say disappointment. It was beaten defeated by a wide margin, but beaten by the Grey Gatsby, given a tremendous ride by Ryan Moore. And one has to say that the opposite was basically the situation with Joseph O'Brien. Whether he was riding to instructions or not, one does not know. But to go completely wide on the track, which he did, something like five wide, and then to go for home such a long way out was, you know, asking for trouble. And I think it was a very disappointing run to get beat. A victory in the Arc would certainly put it right. And I think Australia ought to be there.
OK. So Australia is the one that's missing for John then. Tiggy Wiggy, John, in the Abbey. Can an older horse topple her?
Yes. First of all, Mark, we've got to say, haven't we, that the draw in the Prix L'Abbé is absolutely crucial. Were Tiggy Wiggy to be given an unfavourable draw, then, despite her tremendous pace, she would find life really difficult. I think that's the most important factor, the draw. If she's got a really decent draw and gets out of the stalls as quickly as she did at Newmarket, then she'll obviously have a major chance. But draw is a worry when we don't know it. And secondly, there is a question that the Cheveley Park came or is coming pretty quick before the Prix L'Abbé, and it's just conceivable that although she won head in chest at Newmarket and apparently had a very comfortable and easy races, we do know, Mark, don't we, that horses who seem to have won without any problem do sometimes use up more energy than has been expected.
Yeah, Tegruda, case in point.
Yes, Tegruda, a case in point, and so that there are many others over a period of time. So there are two question marks about whether Tiggy Wiggy is going to score. I wouldn't necessarily say older horses will beat her, but the two I like are Step A Point, who I thought was very impressive last time out and has maintained a high cruising rate throughout the season. I think, given a decent draw, Step A Point is going to be hard to beat. And were the ground to come soft, then a horse that I've been following, the same age as, no, just 1 year older than Tiggy Wiggy, is Hot Streak. I've been waiting for Hot Streak to win a really competitive race, and if the ground were to turn out soft, I think Hot Streak would give Kevin Ryan's team a really good run in the Prix L'Abbé. So, the draw is crucial. If she gets a good draw, Tiggy Wiggy could easily win. But I'll be with Step A Point and Hot Streak.
OK. Both double-figure prices as well on the betting that we have at the moment. Tiggy Wiggy heads that market at 3-1, but she does need to be supplemented. Soul Power is 4-1. Muff Mir is another that needs to be supplemented for the race, but 7s. Due Diligence 9s. 10s for Anthem Alexander and Step A Point. Catcall 12s. Cut Eye Glory, Music Master, and Reckless Abandon also 12s, and then Hot Streak 16s at Big Rods, of the ones you mentioned.
And when you read through that list, Mark, you've got to see that Tiggy Wiggy does actually face the most tremendously hard problem. Mutmir, for example, I didn't mention, but my goodness, that was impressive when winning. And, you know, I think the Haggis team are very optimistic for a good run. So it really is a competitive race.
It is. It should be a cracker. Penultimate question, John. Do Newmarket winners Lacida and Elm Park look like classic candidates?
I thought Elm Park had got a very reasonable chance of playing quite a serious role in the Derby. I was with Elm Park when that horse won first time out at Newbury. Or two outings ago at Newbury, and KP was at Newbury on that occasion. He suggested that others might be slightly more forward than Elm Park, and that the Balding stable had not done particularly well in the run-up to that Newbury race. But I did stay loyal to Elm Park, and I thought he won really well, and he stepped up on that at Newmarket. He's round about sort of 25 to 1, I think, for the Derby next year. But I would have thought he'd got a reasonable chance, provided he trains on.
OK, Elm Park then with a decent chance in the Derby. I'm just trying to get the betting up for next year's Derby. Elm Park is, 25 to 1, John, so... OK. Final question, who else caught your eye over the past week?
Well, I started this sort of run through with saying I was very pleased with the fact that the jumping season was beginning to warm up, and there was this good £50,000 chase at Market Rasen on Saturday. Now, the horse involved did not win, but it is Malcolm Jefferson's At a Glance, who was desperately unlucky, in my view, not to win at the Cheltenham Festival when Brian Hughes decided to go up the inside rather than keep straight and go round the outside, and got hampered and just got beat in the big novice chase at the festival. I thought At a Glance jumped really well at Market Rasen on Saturday. That's been the worry in the past, that he hasn't quite taken to fences, and many people have thought that he might be a horse who's a really top-class hurdler in his time, but one that hasn't made the transition to the bigger obstacles. I thought that wasn't the case at Cheltenham, and I'm absolutely certain it wasn't the case at Market Rasen. He put in some really good jumps. Going down the back straight for the final time, I thought he was definitely going to take a hand in the finish. But he had a bit of weight, and I think he probably needed the outing. And with Malcolm Jefferson's liking for Cheltenham, I'm convinced that At a Glance, provided the ground remains reasonably sound, will be in action at jumping headquarters within the next 6 weeks. And I shall definitely be supporting him.
OK, At a Glance then caught John's eye. It'd be good to see him back at Cheltenham winning over fences this time, because he won over hurdles at the festival, didn't he? Won at Aintree over hurdles as well. So if he could replicate that over the bigger obstacles... He's a horse I've followed for a while, John. So
yeah, he's a very good horse in my view, and he does, of course, need a sound surface. And one hopes it's not going to pour with rain over the next few weeks.
Hopefully not. Right, that's the Monday jury then for another week, and we'll move on to Tuesday's action. We'll get John's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday. John's picked out a couple of races at Ayr and one of them at Sedgefield as well. So we're going through them in chronological order. We'll start with the 3:15 at Ayr, and this is a Class 5 handicap for three-year-olds and older over a mile and 7 furlongs. And I suppose we'll start here with the likely favourite, Scrafton, John, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick.
Yes, still looks in a very good mark, actually, in the handicap, I think, mark. And Scrafton represents James Bethel, who's having really a pretty good season, the Midland trainer. I've always found him an extremely expensive trainer to follow, but this particular season, his horses have run with much greater consistency and also shown plenty of ability. I think Scrafton's still on a decent mark in the handicap. Won well at Catterick last time out, staying strongly over the 13 furlongs, and was a good winner previously, the time before. But the horse mark he beat was War Lass. Now, War Lass is trained by Ian Jardine, who trains, of course, in the Scottish Borders, not far from Hoyk at a place called Bonchester Bridge, and he too is having a tremendous season. And he's got a really genuine stayer in this horse, in this race, called La Bacateurs. And La Bacateurs will like the firm ground. I saw the horse win well at Musselburgh three or four outings ago, and he likes that particular track, but he's a pretty dour stayer, and I'm interested in the booking of Danny Tuthope to ride, because if ever there was a jockey who would suit La Bacateurs, who needs basically to be held up and produced with that telling challenge in the closing stages, then Danny Tuthope is the man. I think that La Bacateurs is a better horse than War Lass. And on that particular sort of argument, there is a possibility that Scrafton will face problems from La Bacateurs. Martin Todhunter is represented here too, with quite a decent mare called Miss McNamara. Now, Miss McNamara's got top weight here, but Kevin Stott takes off five. She is a cataract specialist, but Martin is convinced that she can win elsewhere. Disappointing, I thought, over a slightly shorter trip at Carlisle last time out, but she is a decent mare. She could go quite well. Jim Goldie's got a Southside Boy in the race, Ayres specialist, and that, you know, hasn't actually shown perhaps the form to win over this longer distance, but is a very decent performer. So, interesting little race. I'm going to go with La Bacateurs and Danny Tuthope.
Okay, La Bacateurs then in the 3.15 at Ayr. We'll go jumping next in the 3.25 at Sedgefield. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, five of them in the lineup here, John, and I suppose every lasting is going to attract a lot of attention given how easily he won last time.
Yes, I think every lasting will have to be the choice here. Won extremely well last time out. I think the official margin was 18 lengths, and the horse he beat was one in a row. That was a very good win. There are two things which attract me to this horse apart from that. One is trained by Rose Dobbin, whose horses are actually in very good shape at the beginning of the autumn. Robin's Command was an excellent winner at Perth last week. And the second thing is, he's been ridden by Craig Nicol, and Craig Nicol, to me, is one of the very best conditional jockeys riding. In fact, he's basically a full-time jockey, in my view, rather than a conditional jockey. He's got a great deal of skill, a determination and strength, and I think he'll give every lasting a really good ride. But I chose this race, Mark, because I thought it was quite a competitive, if small, field. Certainly four of them are in with a reasonable chance, quite apart from the selection every lasting. For instance, Peachy Moment at the top. It represents Nicky Richards. Now, this horse has been tremendously frustrating to follow, but I did remain loyal when he went to Bangor two outings ago, and Noel Fihili rode him for the first time, and he jumped like an absolute buck, and he won really well, Peachy Moment, and he wasn't disgraced last time out at Perth. Now, I know he's won at Perth, but I always think he doesn't really shine at the Tayside course, but he stayed on fairly strongly to finish third. Question, who's going to ride? Blank in the overnight papers, so to speak. I have a feeling Nicky will be waiting to see if Mr. Feely is ready to ride. If he does come, Peachy Moment is a threat. Cara Court is a Sedgefield specialist, not perhaps at the best of form at the moment, but very frequently runs above himself at Sedgefield. And then we've got Mr. Wall Street, who could be the improver in the race and is by no means out of it. So only five runners, very competitive little handicap. I'm going to go for Rose Dobbin, Craig Nicol and Every Lasting.
Okay, Every Lasting there then. And back up to where we go for their 5.30. And this is a Class 3 handicap for three-year-olds and older over a mile. It's part of the Scottish Racing Mile Series. And this is another competitive race, John. 14 of them in the lineup here. Which ones are on the shortlist?
Yeah, why do I pick out this sort of race? I don't know, Mark. But it's worth 15,000, and Ayr have left it to almost the last race. Obviously, they've decided to keep the customers at home, going very quickly down. You could mention at least half a dozen horses who could easily win. Manly Bay, for example, didn't win last time out, but Keith Dalglish's horse is in very good shape, very consistent sort. True Pleasure represents James Bethel, is very high in the handicap in my view, but has won this sort of race in the past. Then going on down the line, Jim Goldie, another for Joe. This is a horse who wins when you don't expect him to win. I saw him score at Carlisle earlier in the season. He won really quite well. Since then, he's been a little bit disappointing, but he could easily spring back here. Ted's Brother, a horse I can never get right. Trained, of course, by Richard Guest, but has won plenty of decent handicaps for Richard during the season. Bahamian C comes into it with an argument. Good winner at Musselburgh earlier in the season. Cameroonie will set a very strong pace, so they're bound to be a true gallop in this contest. So by a process of elimination, we come down to the selection, which is Funding Deficit, the other Jim Golding horse in this race, ridden by Fergal Lynch. I like Mick Fergal Lynch riding for Jim Goldie, particularly at Ayr or Scottish courses. I've been following throughout the season funding deficit, and he came good last time out. And it wasn't a great race, but he won at Hamilton, beating Safos. And I just feel that he is in a very decent mark in the handicap. And now that he has scored, confidence can be restored. And Fergal Lynch in the saddle suggests the funding deficit has a very good chance in this race at Ayr.
Okay, funding deficit then in a fiercely competitive 5:30 at Ayr. Let's just have a quick summary, John, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, we go first of all in the 3:15 at Ayr, and the choice in the 3:15 at Ayr is in fact La Bacateurs. Over to Century for the 3:25, just shortly after there. I'm worried about Peachy Moment, but I've gone for Everlasting for Rose Dobbin. And in the 5:30 at Ayr, we'll be with Funding Deficit and Fergal Lynch.
Okay, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. And he'll be in the studio with Dave Kellner and Ross Brierley. We have Ayr, Chepstow and Sedgefield on Tuesday afternoon. And we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture in the evening from Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.